Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us for the weekly Worcester Nazarene podcast, a conversation with our pastors and leaders to help us along our journey of loving God, loving people, and living transformed.
All right. Well, welcome back to the Worcester Naz podcast. I'm Pastor Aubrey. This is Pastor Andrew. And on Sunday, you brought a word from the book of James, chapter one mostly, but hitting on some other chapters too. And man, it was, I think, convicting for everyone in the room. So, as you were prepping, as you were getting ready to share with us, what was one thing that you're like, man, I am really excited to share this with our people?
About my daughter suplexing somebody is maybe one thing I was excited to share. No, the one thing that probably most excited was just like, this is the things like in these like eight verses, like these are things that like apply to all of us. Like this is stuff for everybody. It's stuff for me. It's stuff for you. Like these are the things of like living a holy life that apply to all of us. And I was just excited to bring some of that perspective of like, you're not alone. Like if this is something you're struggling with, you're not alone. And there's a better way that we can choose to live. And it's not just about fixing the stuff. It's about being like all those things together. Yeah. I was just excited to pull that all together.
Yes. So, yeah. And I think that came across really well. One thing that you quoted or referenced was Kim Friend. She came into our staff summit and she said, "You're as sick as your secrets." Yeah. And just shared a little bit about Celebrate Recovery during that meeting. And you referenced it too. I would love our people to hear a little bit more about Celebrate Recovery. We kind of throw it around sometimes. We reference it. We invite them. We're like, hey, this is so good. But I know that I am one who like, before I walk in the room, I want to know what I'm getting myself into. Yeah. So like, what does a regular gathering of Celebrate Recovery even look like? Yeah,
this is so good. I was actually just texting Kim 10 minutes before I was recording this, because this coming Sunday, we're celebrating that Celebrate Recovery has been around now for just over a year.
Yeah.
And we have a great My Story video that'll be coming out this Sunday during service. We're going to talk about it even more. There'll be a foyer table for people to check in and get more details. But Celebrate Recovery is so important. It's so open to anybody. Like CR is not just for people with addiction or drugs or alcohol. It's for people with hurts, habits, or hangups. And that goes across the board for so many things, like people with anxiety or something that is pulled out in the My Story video on Sunday, like eating disorders or maybe abuse that you experienced as a child, some things that you've never worked through. It's an open gathering where people can come and be in a community where it's confidential and it's anonymous. And it's, you can share openly. And so like to answer your question directly, a normal CR gathering looks one of two different ways. So on offsetting weeks, they always come together and they have a time of worship. There's coffee and goodies beforehand and people mingling. There's a time of worship. And then each week there's either a lesson or a testimony from somebody that's been through Celebrate Recovery. We're doing more and more now that we've been doing it for a year. We have more of our people that will be sharing their testimonies of freedom. So there's a testimony or a lesson. The lesson covers one of the main aspects of what Celebrate Recovery is. Whether the steps or the principles that are behind the steps, all of it is biblically based for the lessons. And just hearing people's stories is so powerful of how they found freedom, whatever the Lord has set them free from, and however they're walking that freedom out. So they get to hear that. And then each week there's a time of celebration inside of Celebrate Recovery where people, starting on the first chip that people can get, it's the surrender chip, saying, hey, I'm ready to start my journey of surrendering whatever it is, whether that is an addiction or a past hurt or whatever they're laying down to that they need freedom from. They can get that first blue surrender chip. And then there's a celebration for 1 month and 2 month and 1 year and 5 years. And I think we just had somebody 22 or 23 years was just celebrating, like a special chip, and celebrating that together. Like we're in this together. So that happens every single week. So that's the first hour. And then the second hour of Celebrate Recovery is the open share time, where women have open share and men have open share. And it's just like that wide open share your heart. This is not going anywhere but this conversation. And people can just get really real about the stuff that they're dealing with and also realize like, I'm not alone in this. Like, there's people in this room that understand, maybe they've dealt with the same thing or they have their own stuff and they can support me and bring me accountability and all of that in that journey.
Yeah.
So that's the whole second hour of CR. So it's 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock on Wednesday nights. And it's in the year that we've been doing this, it's incredible to see the people that have found freedom, but also the people that have just found like their people, their community, mm-hmm. the relationships that are happening. It's just awesome. There's an amazing leadership with Kim and the leadership team that's doing it. That's continuing to grow and multiply. There's step studies that come off of this that are like even deeper down in of like really digging into like all of the stuff of your whole life in a really smaller group that happens during the week of like just 4 or 5 people, either women or men separate. Like there's so many pieces and parts of it. And it's so vital for people actually finding the freedom that we talk about. Like you can be free from sin. You can be free from pain.
Yeah.
And like this is actually giving people practical steps to live that out together in community.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was a lot. And I talked really fast.
But so good. So good. Because honestly, I think there's like a misconception that some of these kinds of programs and opportunities are only for, you know, people who struggle with alcohol addiction or drug abuse, or if they've, you know, been falling into like a porn addiction, something like that. Right. And it's like, yes, it is for any of those kinds of things, but it's also for like what you said, like stuff that happened when you were a kid and walking in freedom. And that's really cool. Is there like a, I've heard rumblings of there being kind of an opportunity for first timers to kind of like hear what it's all about that first time, so they're not thrown into the deep end. Is that the case?
That's definitely a thing.
Okay.
Thank you for mentioning that. So if somebody comes for the first time to CR, that whole first hour is either it's the worship, the lesson, or the testimony. And then the second hour is there's a separate first timers. There's one of two or three of the leadership team people have a separate time for those brand new people and just say, hey, this is what this looks like. You're not just thrown straight to the deep end of OpenShare that first week. You kind of get the lay of the land. Mm-hmm. And the leadership team that does that is so great and so loving and caring. It kind of just makes people feel like this is a safe place. So that definitely happens.
Yeah. Safety is huge.
Yeah.
So going back to your message on Sunday morning, you mentioned a whole lot of things from like anger to keeping a watch over your mouth and all of these things kind of come back to this idea of what does living a life that looks different from the world look like kind of practically? And James kind of drills down on that in some pretty brutal ways. But something that you mentioned was like, man, if we aren't listening and obeying what God is asking us to do, if all of this doesn't matter, if it's in one ear, out the other, why are we here? What is the point of this? Like, why don't we just go
home? What are you doing?
What are you doing? And that really hit home with me. And I wanted to hear a little bit of like, man, have you had an experience either in your life or like witnessing someone else's life when that became real? Like you had been, or someone had been living like, I know what to do and I don't do it. And then suddenly it was like, oh man, I want to be all in for Jesus. Have you ever seen that? Has that been fleshed out for you at all?
For sure. I know I shared the verse in second service. I didn't say it was just kind of off the cuff. I didn't say it in first service, but it makes me think about 1 Peter where it's like, don't go back to your old way of sinning. Like you don't have to keep going back to your old way of doing evil. It says it different ways in different translations.
Yeah.
It says, you know so much better now, like be holy because God has created you to be holy. And that's definitely something for sure. I actually just told some of my story in a lunch appointment I had yesterday of like for several years of my life, especially coming out of high school, going into college, and even graduating from college, I was just trying to do things my own way. And like, especially when I graduated college, I changed my major from ministry and I graduated and had this degree in ministry. And then I ended up grinding welds at a fab shop, a metal fab shop for 3 years. And I'm like, God, why did you do this to me? And like, I did everything you told me to do and now I'm here. And I just spent the season like mad at God. And I was like, I so regret that time because I just had the wrong perspective. And when I finally came to this place of like, when I was mad at God, I was doing stuff my way. I was doing like stupid stuff. I wasn't controlling my tongue because that's just that environment. Like those were things that were happening back then. And when I finally came to this point of like, okay, Lord, I want to actually live this out in my own life and see what you can do, not just what you can do, like show me signs and wonders, but like how this really applies to my life. When I finally surrendered, like, okay, Lord, this is where I am and I want to be obedient. I want to actually live this out. That's when things just like started falling into place. Like I ended up on staff at a church in Warren, and then that all happened in 2015. Pastor Nathan calls me and I come home and I'm on staff here at this place where I grew up. Like those things were set into motion from a place of surrender in the middle of a season that was really hard, when I was doing stupid stuff, doing it my own way. When I finally came to that point of just saying, okay, I actually want to live this out and be really actually real, then the blessing came. Like that one verse I read, like that's where the blessing is. It's in obedience. It's in the day-to-day yes to Jesus. And I'm not saying I've gotten that perfect since then, but as I've walked that road of obedience over time, I can see how the Lord has been blessing things all along the way.
Yeah. Well, that's really awesome. Yeah. And just the reality that even in the moments of like, man, this is not how my life, this is not how I was planning this to go. Like the Lord is still wanting our hearts and he's still willing to work even after, you know, you were in a place like that and you had already started to go down that path. He's like, hey, like it's come back. Like it's cool. So.
And I think too, like I, for me at least, I fall into that why question so often. And I know we talk about this a lot, but it's just like, why, God, why did you do this to me? Why did you do this to me? And then because you did this to me, then I feel empowered. I mentioned this in one of the services on Sunday. I feel empowered that I'm going to do this other thing just so I can feel better in the moment, like just for a moment of feeling better about something. And then that just pulls you further into disobedience and away from the Lord. And something the Lord has really been speaking to me the last few years of is like, instead of asking why, start asking, okay, Lord, what do you want me to learn? Right. How do you want me to grow? Now, those questions are a whole lot harder even than the why question, because that's like actually shifting things and new steps of obedience and new steps of surrender.
Yeah.
But as I've done better with that, not perfect, but done better with that, like he's been faithful again to show me like, this is the something so much better that I have for you. Now walk into that.
Right, right. And I mean, that all comes down to this whole point of, man, God is working in all the things to accomplish what he has planned for us.
Right.
I know that you've shared that a couple times while we've been gathered as staff. Like, don't ask why. That's not helpful. Yeah. No, what are you doing?
I'm trying to remind myself. That's why I share it so much.
And that's something that I needed then. And honestly, every so often, I'm like, think back and I'm like, oh yeah, Pastor Andrew said that one thing that time. And man, that's a good word. So I've appreciated that mindset shift, and I'm guessing other people do too. But one thing that is pretty tough, I think, in our culture is watching your tongue, both like obviously we think like, oh, watch your mouth. You don't want to say bad words, but in terms of like tone and gossip and all those different things. And then you kind of talked about like, what was one moment, when was the last time that you slowed down, didn't react in emotion, but responded out of love? How does that look? I want to like, obviously we kind of get the idea of that, but what are some practical ways that we can even start implementing some of that? Because I think we want to in our head, but our heart is just like way ahead of our mouth sometimes.
Yeah. There's so many different examples that I can think of. One in particular, I just shared this in a premarital counseling last week, is several years ago when me and Sam moved home before we had kids. We were living at my parents' house. And we were like, everybody has their things, right? You'd arguments. Well, I don't like that word, but like we were just talking passionately about something. And like I did this thing in that moment where I said what I wanted to say. It was out of emotion. And I left the house. I was like going somewhere and coming back soon. But I left the house. I kind of slammed the door and I did not give her a chance to respond. And when I came back, like she was upset in a way that I'd never seen her upset. Like she was hurt in a way that I'd never experienced at that point. And like 9 years of our marriage, 8 years of our marriage. And I didn't understand what had happened. But what I had done is I had shut her down in a way that she had been shut down as a child. and like gave her no chance to respond, basically told her to shut up with my words and my tone. And I did not intend to do that at all, but that's what happened. And so when I learned from that, like there is so much that can happen. And like, this is another part of controlling your tongue. Like the next time in a similar situation, instead of me just saying my piece, allowing her to talk more, allowing her to talk about like, this is how I'm feeling. Like that is so important in that conversation, especially in the marriage context of like me understanding as a man, this is how my wife is feeling. And I need to hear that out. And I need to be empathetic to that and give her that space to talk about those things and not just shut it down. So like, that's one example I can think of not just me saying my piece, but like controlling my tongue to actually listen, ask questions, and then respond. Kind of that example of Jesus again, being slow to speak, being slow to just walk away from the conversation, but leaving that space in the, especially this example of the marriage context, to like, let's actually walk this out together instead of me just blah, all of my stuff.
Yeah.
Like, let's have this real back and forth. So I don't know if that answers your question, but that's just one thing I'm thinking of.
And that takes a lot of maturity. Like,
I'm not perfect at this. Sam's going to watch this podcast. So
I don't think any of us are. But yeah, that's a really great example with marriage. Is it similar with kids? Is it different? I'm not married or have kids.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I would say sometimes it's even harder with kids because like as the parent, like especially when your kids are doing the exact thing that you told them not to do, like 2 seconds later, right? It's so easy in that moment to raise your voice another level because you are definitely right. They are definitely wrong. But it's like, what is that tone communicating? What is that? Mm. What is that? How are you speaking love and truth in a way that also brings standard and discipline? Like balancing those things can be very difficult. And I think it leads to some of what I alluded to on Sunday is anytime that I correct our kids, like, yes, my voice will get firm and they'll say, Daddy, I don't like when you use your firm voice. And I tell them, I don't like doing this either. But like, so I have to like get firm and we have a conversation. Like we sit, they go to the room, we sit down and we have a talk. Mm-hmm. What happened? What needs to change? What choices do you need to make differently? And then I always land on that. We're having this conversation so that you can learn and grow. I want you to learn and grow. We need to listen and obey, make better choices. So wrapping that all together in the conversation with your kids, I think is so helpful, other than just exploding and saying, you have this consequence, go sit in your room for 20 minutes and you never talk about it. Like talking through those things with your kid. And again, giving them space to like say what they need to say, listening to where their heart is and their whatever justification they might have for what they did is probably always mostly going to be wrong. But speaking through that in love, like having an actual conversation with your kids, even like Judah's 6.5, Emery's 4.5, like we're having those conversations now. I think that's really important.
Yeah. I know that we've talked a little bit about the trend of like gentle parenting and how this is both like kind of humanizing your kids and also different than gentle parenting. Yeah. And so holding that tension, I'm sure it's hard. And the parents listening are probably like, that's way harder than you're making it sound, Andrew. Right. But
there's a balance to all of it for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
And especially in the hustle and bustle of life and busy schedules, and you're just trying to get your daughter to eat the tuna off her plate for an hour. Like this was last night. This was last night at dinner. And like, yeah, it is not an easy thing to do.
No.
But if like the more consistent we can be over time, then that's when our kids find stability and love. And like, this is a safe place and I can actually learn and grow in this family and in this home that I live in. So.
Yeah. Well, good. I appreciate that. Just helping give some handles to what we're talking about.
Yeah.
It's always good. Talking about practical things, you did mention diving into the word and just being like, you know, God has implanted a word in your heart, and this is the true word. You mentioned a resource; it was called Bible Hub.
Yeah.
And you gave us like the website. You said it was BibleHub.org.
BibleHub.com.
.com. Yeah. Okay. What are some things that are available on there? Because obviously, like I have the Bible app. How's the Bible Hub different than that?
So it's awesome. Like first of all, it's free. BibleHub.com. Use it all the time. I do have hard copy commentaries and stuff that digs in further as well. But on Bible Hub, you can you can search whatever verse. You search James 1:27, the verse we landed on Sunday. And it's going to show you every translation that's available on the first page. And then from that first page, there's all the stuff at the top where you can click on the interlinear Bible, where it shows you the English and the Greek together. And then you're like, oh, what's that Greek word? You can click on that Greek word, and it'll show you all the places it shows up in the Bible. And then at the top of that screen, you can see all of like the Bible dictionaries that you can find the original language in. You can click on, okay, Strong's Concordance, and I go over here. This is what this word actually meant in the original context. So you can keep going that way. Or let's say you go to James 1:27. Another thing at the top level is the commentaries. You can hit that commentary button and it'll show you, there's like maybe 15 of them, 12 to 15 of them, of different commentaries that talk about that verse or the passage that it's in. Nice. Like there's a lot of tools there. And that's just, there's also things for the Hebrew, like all of the original language stuff is there, and it'll connect it like other verses. Like there's so many things where you can dig deeper into it. So it's a really great resource.
Yeah.
And another thing I wanted to say, this idea of that verse specifically that I didn't emphasize Sunday about the engrafted word. I know I emphasized like, this is Jesus. Yeah. He's the perfection of the law. But this is also like this is what we've been saying. Like we need to get the word in us. Like this is what James is reiterating, that. Like we talk about that all the time around here at Worcester NASA, getting the word in you. It's not just about reading the Bible for completion. It's about reading it for comprehension. I know this is something you talk to Pastor Sheldon about often, but it's like actually getting the word in us so that when we face these difficult times in our life, when we're in that gossiping conversation, when we're faced with the heat of emotion in a moment, like the Lord will bring the word back to mind and the Holy Spirit will be like, what are you doing and what are you going to do?
Yeah.
But that doesn't really always happen if the word is not in us, if it's not grafted into our hearts. And again, I love this, that gardener imagery that happened in the Message translation for that verse about eliminating our sin and filth. Like, I love this image of like a salvation garden flowing out from our life.
Yeah.
That cannot happen if the word is not in us. Right. We have to have the word in us.
Right. Just taking a shoot of something and tossing it in a pot is not the same as like grafting them together.
Yeah.
That's really good. So we are about out of time. One question that I like to ask is just like, man, if you had to say like, this is the one takeaway from Sunday, this is, if you missed everything else and nothing else mattered, this is the one thing that I want you to hold.
Yeah.
Is there something like that for this week?
Yeah. And I said it in one of the two services. It's so hard to remember what you say when or get it all in. But more than anything, I want us to remember like Jesus loves us. Mm-hmm. Like he loves us so much. And there's nothing that we can do or not do for him to love us any more or any less. And so like when we talk about these things, like I said, behavior modification does not replace surrender. That was my big idea. But more than that, it's just like, Jesus loves you. He knows all of it. He knows your whole life. And he still says, I love you.
Yeah.
And I have something so much better for you. And so it's just this invitation to a journey of freedom. And I want to encourage people, just say yes, whatever that means for you, just say yes. Cause Jesus is always there loving you. And we don't have to keep on sinning. We don't have to keep on being miserable. We don't have to keep on cycling. We can just live in his love and his truth and his freedom every day. We have that opportunity. So that's the thing. Like, yes, we talk about all this stuff and we're going to keep going with the haymakers as we go further into James. But underneath all of this, it's just like, man, Jesus loves you so much and he just wants to be in relationship with you.
Yeah. Well, that's a great takeaway. I appreciate your time. I appreciate you sitting down.
Thank you.
We'll see you guys Sunday.